G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
So Deuteronomy 28, give me an oi when you're there. Mate, I am so looking forward to this, what I preached last week. If you weren't here last week, you are only going to get a small percentage of what I'm sharing today. You may think you're going to get a lot, but it is based on what I shared last week. That is the foundation. And so it's up on the website, and so you may need to listen to it because it really is very much. You're going to think you're going to get a lot today, and there is. There's a lot of stuff. I've been so looking forward to sharing last week and this week. The revelation in this area that God has been giving me over the last few years has turned my life around. It's to do with financial prosperity, and I shared some details last week about what's happened in my life, so I don't want to go over that. But that is on the website, on the homepage, and you can download it and have a look. Yeah, I'm really excited because I know, well, I don't know everything, but I know I have some ideas of what's ahead. And even what was seen by Pete and what Anthony confirmed, there's a real unlocking that's taking place and a releasing. And we're yet to see the manifestation of that in people's lives. But that's where we're heading into 2019. It's really, really exciting. Hallelujah. Well, let's read the scripture. I'm not sure how long I'm going to be, so if you need to leave, please feel free to leave. I do not have a release to make this another part. This is going to be it. All right? And I don't know how long I'm going to go. I'm not planning to go long, but I know that there's others that listen to this online, and so I want to get out what God's put on my heart, and I will do my best to go as quickly as possible. And you can leave when you want to. I'll leave when I'm done. I'll turn the lights off, it's all right. Deuteronomy 28, give me an oi if you're there. Oh, this is so good. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. We'll get that first slide up. Thanks, Belle. So we've been talking, we started last week about talking about this issue, how to move to financial freedom and beyond. And I want to quickly recap a couple of things. This by no means does justice to what I shared last week, but just as a way of a reminder for those of you who are here, there are different levels of prosperity. And there are three that I know that God showed me a couple of years ago. We'll go to the next one. And those three are divine provision, divine freedom, and divine power. Divine provision is when you see that God is your provider. It belongs to every believer. And while it belongs to every believer, it doesn't manifest in every believer's life. Divine provision, level one, only manifests to those who are willing to honor God and recognize that the tithe is not theirs and that the tithe belongs to the Lord. And so you can live a whole life, you can walk with God, you'll go to heaven, but if you never acknowledge that the tithe is holy and it belongs to the Lord and you don't practice that in your life, you'll never be able to enter in even just to level one of being able to move into financial freedom. So then the next level, divine freedom or financial freedom, is when you go beyond living week to week. And we looked at some scriptures last week about that. It's where you set up multiple streams of income, and some of those streams of income have developed into rivers of riches. All right. Divine freedom, level two, will only be experienced by those who become kingdom-minded. And anyway, there's a lot more, and you can listen to last week's message if you need to recap on that. And then the third and highest level of prosperity is divine power. That's when a number of your rivers of riches have accumulated wealth, an ocean of wealth. And you're prospering then at a level that your personal needs are gone at level two, right? But in divine power, when you're at level three, it's beyond you, it's beyond your family. You are now in a position where you can influence communities, towns, cities, even nations. And that is God's desire. He wants to raise people up to go. And so if you're living in level one, divine provision, that's wonderful that God is your provider. But he doesn't want you to just be at level one. He wants you to get way past living week to week. And he wants to move you into these higher levels. And these belong to you and I. And I went into a lot of detail last week with regard to that. So that's just a quick recap. You know, most of us recognize that God wants us to prosper. So why aren't more people prospering? If you go to a lot of sessions of people that preach about prosperity, you will hear about the importance of giving. And I did talk about that last week. And that is essential. It's like I said at the start. Last week was just, that's the foundation. But that's only half the equation. Because it's not just about giving. It's also about receiving. It's not just about planting. It's also about harvesting. And sad to say that there's not many that talk about how to harvest or how to receive. And so there's a lot of Christians who give, but they don't know how to receive and they don't know how to harvest. And I want to go into some details today, particularly about some of the things that God has shown Joy and I over the last 7 years that has just turned our finances around to a place that if I went back 10 years and somebody told me that I would be experiencing what I'm experiencing, I would have thought, no. Surely not. I wouldn't have liked to have said, I don't believe you, because I'm a believer, but it's a wonderful thing. Hey, how do we prosper? You know, like I think that's the deep question that a lot of people have. Well, you know, how does this manifest? How can we get this? You know, like, and let me say this to start with. It's important that you understand some of these things that I'm going to be sharing. And some of the things that I'm going to share will be, I know, quite confrontative for you. You might even feel like I'm slapping you in the face. But understand, it's coming from a place of love. Anything I share is stuff that God shared with me. All right? And so, if it's confrontative, I get it. I understand. And so I ain't looking down on anyone. I've made some huge mistakes in the area of finances. I'm just so thankful that he is so gracious and so merciful. But you know, Hosea 4 verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And a lot of people aren't prospering because they don't know. How do I harvest? How can I receive it? Jesus didn't say the truth sets you free, did he? He said it's the truth that you know that sets you free. And so we need to increase in knowledge in these areas. And I'm going to give you some good stuff today. Hallelujah. How do we move into abundance? My first question to you is, well, why do you want to prosper? And I think if we'll go to the next one, why do you want to prosper? I just want you to think about that just for a moment. I don't want to spend too much time, but I do want you to think about that. What if someone was to give you a check for $100 million? What would you do? You know, for the majority of believers, I'm talking about believers now, they would have 100 thoughts in their mind. Man, I'll go for a holiday, I'll buy a new car, buy a house, I'll do all these things. And not one thing would have to do with the kingdom of God. There's nothing wrong with buying a house, buying a car, going on a holiday. But for a lot of people, that question, that's the first thing that goes, their mind would race. What would I do with that money? And you wouldn't see them at church probably for months, if ever. Because they're not kingdom-minded. These levels, to go up these levels, God is looking for kingdom-minded people. God is looking for people who are willing to put Jesus first. And we did cover some of that. We'll go to the next one. Thanks, Isabel. We looked at the importance about putting Jesus first and becoming kingdom-minded. But you know, we live in this world, and as believers, we have been so influenced by the world where we think like the world. How can you possibly experience the blessing of God if you think and act and talk like the world? You're just going to get what the world gets. You have to change the way you think. You've got to change the way you talk. You've got to change the way you live if you want to experience what God desires for you. I want to read you a quote from an amazing book called Affluenza. The Western world is in the grip of a consumption binge that is unique in human history. We aspire to the lifestyles of the rich and famous at the cost of our family, our friends, and personal fulfillment. Rates of stress, depression, and obesity are up as we wrestle with the emptiness and endless disappointments of the consumer lifestyle. We overwork. We spend huge amounts on things we never use, and then we throw them out. Our houses are bigger than ever, but our families are smaller. Our kids go to the best schools that we can afford, but we hardly ever see them. We've got more money to spend, yet we're further in debt than ever before. What is going on? Why do you want to prosper? Why do you want to go to these higher levels? That's a question that I hope echoes in your heart that you need to answer. Because unless your answer from your heart begins to line up with putting Jesus first and becoming kingdom-minded, God is not interested. He desperately wants you to prosper, but He's not interested in bringing you into those things. The Bible says the prosperity of fools will destroy them. You're a fool if you've got anything else than those priorities in your life. Was that too subtle? Okay. So how do we harvest? Understanding that, how do we receive? How do we harvest? Well, I've got two major points. Two divisions that I'm breaking today up in. If we go to the next one, I want to talk about your expenditure, and then I also want to talk about your income. So I'm breaking it up about how you can harvest. We're going to talk first about your expenses or your spending, your expenditure, and then we're going to talk about some practical things to do with your income. And these both have to do with how to receive, how you harvest. So we'll go to the next one. Thanks, Belle. To do with expenditure, there's two things I want to talk about. Number one, stay out of debt. And number two, become a good steward. And you can write these out. I'm going to go quickly through them. They're the main points. But we will talk about these two points right now. So the first one, stay out of debt. Thanks, Belle. Next one. So there's a couple of scriptures up there. Stay out of debt. Proverbs 22 verse 7 says, "The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." The Lexham English Bible, who a lot of theologians are raving about as the new, most accurate, modern-day translation, English translation. And it says, the rich will rule over the poor and the borrower is a slave to the lender. If you want to move into financial freedom and beyond, so I'm talking about moving into level two and beyond, you got to get out of debt and stay out of debt. That includes your credit cards. You know, I talked a little bit about this last week and I said I would talk a bit more today. It's not a sin to borrow money. So hear me in what I'm saying. You may need to listen over because I'm going to share some things quickly with you. But if you come out of this saying that I said it's wrong for you to borrow money, you're wrong. It's not a sin to borrow money. But the Bible never ever speaks of borrowing in a positive way. Look at it, what it says. The borrower is a slave to the lender. Is that a good thing? I'm not trying to, if you're in debt, I'm not trying to condemn you. I've been there. You cannot move into financial freedom if you're a slave. But it's not a sin to borrow. And so you need to understand this. Debt is slavery. Hey, your choices are severely limited when you get into debt. I'm so thankful that I'm not in debt. My car, I've told people this, that could have one wheel and it could be completely bald, but I would rather be in that than go into debt to get a car. I just won't do it. I just refuse to do it. Hear what I'm saying though. I'm not condemning anybody. All right? But you are in slavery. It just limits your choices. You can't afford to choose whether to work or not. I'm in a position where I can do whatever God tells me to do. And I don't need to seek permission. And I'm financially free to do that. There's an economist, he's not even a Christian, by the name of Scott Pape. I want to read you something he talks about with regard to debt. He says, your debt controls every minute of your day. From the moment your phone alarm bleats and bounces around your skull first thing in the morning, debt is slavery. It controls what you wear, where you work, what you eat for lunch. It never leaves you. It controls what you do on weekends and where you go on holidays. It colors your view of the world. It colors your view of you and what you're capable of your hopes, your dreams. Debt eats away at your self-esteem. How can you possibly move into financial freedom if you are enslaved financially? So the first thing, if you want to move into financial freedom, you've got to get out of debt. And the bottom line, if we go to the next one, the bottom line really is this question. Who do you really believe can bless you more, God or the bank? I hear a lot of people say, oh yeah, no, I don't like debt, but they'll go and borrow. I'm not saying it's wrong to borrow. But what I am saying is it's not a good thing. It's not a sin. I hope you understand that. Because God actually regulates borrowing. He wouldn't do that. He doesn't regulate sin. But it just ties you up. Now I'm going to say some things that most of you won't like. Don't go into debt for something that's not an asset. What's an asset? An asset is anything that produces money in your life. So an asset could be stocks, could be bonds. It could be investment property. It could be business. Don't go into debt for anything that's not an asset. A car is not an asset. Owning your own home is not an asset. It's an asset to the bank. It's not an asset to you because it doesn't put money in your pocket. Well, Pastor Les, what are you saying? Are you saying that I shouldn't be borrowing money? How am I supposed to get a car? Well, you don't think God can get you a car? How much have we limited God? How much have we become like the world? Where we cannot possibly fathom how God can do it. And God's going, look at the stars in the sky. I put every one of them in place. If you're in debt, believe God to get free of it, hey, and aggressively attack it. Attack it. You need to hate it. You need to see it like God sees it. Hey, some people say they hate debt and they don't want to be in debt, but they pay the minimum amount on their loans. And the moment they've paid off their loans, they'll go and get another loan. You don't hate debt. All right, that's point one. Hallelujah. Are you ready for point two? We're talking about how to move to financial freedom. It would be foolish for me to not say any of these things. You can't be financially free if you're enslaved financially. Number two about expenses is becoming a good steward. We'll go to the next one. Oh, there you go. Thank you, Isabel. Become a good steward. What's a steward? A steward is a manager. A steward is someone that manages something for someone else. Stewards are not owners. They're managers. It's important you understand the difference, say. Stewards are responsible for looking after something that doesn't belong to them and ensuring that that thing is looked after properly. The scripture makes it quite clear, that scripture that's up on the screen, Psalm 24 verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness the world and those who dwell in it. Everything belongs to God. You can't get a fat head about anything. You might be really good at maths. You can't get a fat head about that. You didn't choose that would be your ability or gift. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you didn't receive? And if you received it, why do you boast as if you didn't receive it? We can't boast about anything. Everything belongs to God. We're just stewards. We are managers. We're managers of the gifts we have. We're managers of the time that we have. We're managers of our money. And you need to become a good steward in all of these things. There will be a day where God will ask us to give an account. How did you manage your time? How did you manage the gifts and abilities that I gave you? How did you manage your family, your friends? How did you manage the role that I called you to play in the church that I joined you to? How did you manage your performance at work? How did you manage your money? And I guess that's what I'm talking about specifically here. I'm talking to you about moving into financial freedom. And it's important you understand that you need to be a good steward of your finances if you want to move into financial freedom. And it's not about the 10%. The 10% is the Lord's, but it's the whole 100%. And we talked about this last week. Imagine if you were a boss of a large company and you went to one of your accountants and said, give me a report. And they said, yep, and they gave you a report, but they only reported on 10% of the company. You'd be thinking, well, what about the rest? They go, oh, I don't know about the rest. I can tell you, this area here is good. You'd be thinking, well, hang on, I'm paying you. What am I paying you for? You need to become a good steward of all your finances. Am I saying you've got to give 100%? I'm not saying that at all. But you need to understand, where is your money going? Yeah, the big thing that I hear, and I know because I used to say it myself, the big thing I hear for people that are not getting victory in this area is they will often say, and I know it because I used to say it, just don't know where my money's going. Just don't know where it's going. You know what that revealed to me? It revealed I was not a good manager. I thought I was. Let me give you a revelation of stewardship, and you can write this down. If you're a note taker, we'll go to the next one. Thanks, Isabel. You cannot prosper if your expenditure is greater than your income. It's one of the best financial revelations God gave me. He gave that to me a couple of years ago. It just seems quite obvious, doesn't it? Yet there's greater truth in that than if you spent the time just meditating on that, there is tremendous revelation and power in that one statement that the Lord spoke. You cannot prosper if your expenditure is greater than your income. People that are not experiencing prosperity at greater levels are people that have a stewardship problem. How can God trust you with more if you're not faithful with less? What manager would do that? What owner would do that? How can you increase if you keep spending what you've got? Yeah, many times God will bring increase into your life or into my life, and we won't even recognize it because we're just ready to spend whatever we've got. I know, I can hear what's going on in the mind of many, many of you, and I used to think the same thing. I used to object to this thing. No. It's not my expense. It's not my spending. It's my income. If my income was greater, then I would be right. We're going to get to income, don't worry. But I want to address this area. You know, the vast majority of cases, the problem is not a lack of income. It is excessive spending. But if you ask most people, how could you get ahead financially? They would say, if I just had a bit more money. If I had just a bit more money. Let me read you from Affluenza again. These guys aren't Christians, but I love what they're writing because it's just so... We need to hear it. 62% of Australians believe they cannot afford to buy everything they really need. When we consider that Australia is one of the world's richest countries and that Australians today have incomes three times higher than in 1950, it is remarkable that so many people feel their incomes are inadequate. You know, in 2014, News Limited did a survey of 50,000 Aussies. And they found that 53% of people that were earning $200,000 a year or more. Hands up if you'd like to earn $200,000 a year. Wouldn't that be nice? That's $4,000 a week minimum. So we're not talking about people who are just eking out an existence. We're not talking about people who may be getting a Centrelink payment. We're talking about people who are getting $200,000 or more. 53% of these people said that they felt either angry or frustrated at the cost of living. It's not an income problem. And I'll prove it to you. You think about the times that you've had pay raises, where you started a new job that paid you even more. Within a month or two, you were in the same position that you were before. Why? Because your spending goes up. You're not a good steward. And I'm not pointing the finger at you. I'm talking, these are things that God spoke to me about. How can you increase if you keep spending it? You cannot prosper if your expenditure is greater than your income. As soon as you fix the stewardship issue, prosperity will be inevitable. And you will be amazed. It'll just come hand over fist to you. You will just find increase coming. I believe one of the reasons is because then you're in a position where you are now. God can look at you and say, you're looking after 100%. I can trust you. I'm going to begin to open up the windows of heaven and let that manifest. It belongs to you and I. But it'll never manifest unless we begin to correct these things. You may need to consider downsizing. Everyone say downsize. Oh, that was hard for some people, eh? Keith Moore, you know, one time he complained to the Lord that he so wanted to be able to give. Every time the offering came around, I mean, he and his wife were tithers, but they just couldn't afford to give. And he was complaining to the Lord. He said, Lord, you know, like, I'm just so fed up. I want to be able to give. I can barely afford to tithe. Show me, teach me. He wasn't ready for what God said to him next. The Lord said, do you really want to? He said, Lord, you know I do. You just tell me. And the Lord said, the reason why you can't give is because you spend more than you get. And then he saw in his mind, he had a brand new canary yellow Corvette that he had bought. And he saw that in his mind. The Lord said, see? He said, you just got into a place where you were getting some substantial finances, and what's the first thing you did? You went and you got a loan. And now you've got to pay off this car, and so you don't have enough money to give. And he saw it. He was guilty. He said, God, he said, you're right. He said, you're right. He said, what do I do? And the Lord said, do you really want to know what to do? And he said, tell me. He said, sell your car. Is there anything else? Like, can I do any other way? Let this cup pass from me. No, he didn't say that, but he ended up selling his car. He had never, since he was 13 years old, he'd grown up in the hills, I don't know where it was, in Alabama, was it? Did he grow up? Mississippi, yeah, that's right. He grew up in the hills of Mississippi, and since he was 13, he'd always had a car. Never had a license. Had a car. That's just how everybody did things there. And now, the first time in his life, as God began to give him revelation of prosperity, God said, sell your car. If you really want what's best, sell your car. And for 2 years, he never had a car, and he'd always had a car. Paid off that loan, and for 2 years, he saved up diligently, and he bought himself a car. But you know, after he paid off his loan, he had plenty to be able to give. How can you move to greater levels if your expenses are always more than your income? And you may need to downsize. You know, nothing is impossible when you begin to flow with the Lord. There's a friend of mine, he's in heaven now, but before he went to heaven, he had accumulated a multi-million dollar portfolio, property portfolio, and he had done it on Centrelink. So don't tell me that God is unable to bring stuff to you. I'm good friends with his son. His son lives down in Melbourne. I caught up with him just when I went down there last time. He's inherited most of the stuff now. The bottom line of what I'm trying to say is, if you want to stay poor, focus on spending your money. If you want to become wealthy, focus on saving and investing your money. We'll go to the next one. Thanks, Belle. Proverbs 21, verse 20, it says, the wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. Become a good steward. All right, we'll go to the next one. So we have looked at your expenditure. We've looked at what can you do to move into new levels. Well, number one, stay out of debt. Number two, become a good steward. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Let's look at your income then. And I've got 3 points. We'll go to the next one. Thanks, Belle. 3 points that I'm going to explore with you. If you want to move into financial freedom and beyond, number one, you need to set up some storehouses. Number two, you need to begin to move toward the Hebrew model. And number three, put your hands to work. Now, do you understand why I talked about expenses first? Because if your expenses aren't fixed, you could do all of these things, but you'll never experience it. You've got to stop the spending. You've got to curb that right back. Then you can begin to make room for income. And income will come. This stuff works. If you were here last week, you heard some of my testimonies. All right, so let's look at them. Number one, so set up storehouses. Next one, thanks, Belle. I want to give you some scriptures about this thing called the storehouse principle. This was, God showed Joy this, and then she taught me. And so I want to show you some scriptures and then talk a little bit about it. So Deuteronomy 28, verse 8, it says, the Lord will command a blessing on you in your storehouses. Everyone say storehouses.
Storehouses.
Notice it's plural. He will command a blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. A storehouse is simply a place where you can store your goods. So for the agricultural community of Israel, the storehouse is where they stored their grain, their fruit, whatever it is that they needed to be able to put away and keep long term, they would put in their storehouse. We'll go to the next one. Thanks, Belle. Proverbs 3, 9 to 10 says, honor the Lord with your possession and with the first fruit of all your increase, so your barns, everyone say barns, barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats, say vats, your vats will overflow with new vine. What's barns and vats? It's the same as storehouses. It's a place where you store stuff. What do you put in the vat? Wine. What do you put in your barns? Plenty. Your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. I want you to see that unless you have a storehouse or a barn or a vat, these things aren't going to work in your life. You need to set up storehouses. We'll go to the next one, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. On the first day of the week, let each of you lay something aside, storing up. Everyone say storing up. As he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. This principle of storing up, of laying it aside, not just spending whatever you get, is right through the scriptures. You need to set up storehouses if you want to begin to move into the higher levels of you want to get the financial freedom first. That's awesome. And then you want to go past that. Hey. Set up multiple. What, for us, we're not an agricultural community. What's a storehouse? It's a bank account. Set up some bank accounts. I have multiple accounts. It didn't start that way. I just had one account, and God just began to teach us about this. Well, I saw Joy, actually. She's the one that discovered it. Because I remember we could barely make it week to week, and there'd be every once in a while we'd want to do something, and I just say to her, oh, you know, we just don't have the money. And she says, if we had the money, could we do it? And I said, yeah. She said, just a minute. And she'd go into the pantry and she'd come out with this money. I go, where'd you get that from? And she'd just wink at me and she'd go, let's go. So off we go and we do it. And a little bit down the track, you know, we'd be talking about doing something. And I'd say, yeah. I said, we're just tight. We're just not able to do it. And she said, hang on a minute. She'd go into the pantry again. She'd come out. She goes, let's go. I said, where are you getting this from? And she showed me. She had this money tin. I said, well, she said, it's the storehouse principle. And I said, what's that? She said, God told me I need to have a storehouse. And she said, any money I have left in shopping, I just put it in here. And she was only getting back then, we were struggling week to week. She would say $5 one week, $10 another week, but she would just keep putting it aside. And just, lo and behold, from time to time when we needed something, she'd pull out 100, 150 out of that, and I think, man, that's awesome. So God began to speak to me about it, set up storehouses. So I began to set up. I set up a bills account. I began to put money into that. I never get caught unexpected with a bill. Never. Hasn't happened in ages. Bill comes in, I just go, okay. Because I've got a storehouse that covers that. I've worked out every bill that I'll get through the year, and I've put aside that money. That's awesome. It's just so much fun. Then whatever money I've got left, that's my money. I don't have to put that aside. I've got a seed account. I didn't start with all of these. I'm just sharing with you some of the things. Then, because I began to say to God, oh, you know, this is when Joy was alive. We said, we want to sow. We want to bless people. And he said, set up a storehouse. So we set up a seed account. We began to put money aside into our seed account. It's fun to give. No one said amen. I'm telling you, it's fun to give. It's real fun. And I'm giving at levels that I'm very thankful for anyway. And so multiple accounts. Say, most people miss their harvest because they don't even recognize it. You think that extra $5 you got, what can I do with that? You go and spend it. Put it in your storehouse. You're displaying good stewardship when you begin to do that. And you begin to find as you begin to do that, more comes and more comes and more comes. But you miss it because you just despise that $10 or that $20 and you think, oh, that's nothing. God, I'm believing you for $100,000. How can you ever get $100,000 if you can't be faithful with the little that you have? So set up storehouses. That was the first one. Number two was begin to move towards the Hebrew model. Thanks. We'll go to the next one, Belle. Oh, this, you're going to love this. Begin to move towards the Hebrew model. Hallelujah. What's the Hebrew model? That's living off 70% of your income. If you were here last week, you heard me share a little bit about it. So I'll just kind of recap a couple of things. The Hebrews didn't just tithe, they had three tithes. They were told to put aside 10% for the Levites and priests. Then they were told to put another 10% aside for the orphan and the widow. And then they were told to put another 10% aside for themselves. And I remember when I read that, and I've shared this last week, so I don't want to spend too much time. I remember when I read that, I looked at it, I thought, how in the world can they afford to do that? I thought, I can barely afford the 10%. And they're giving 30. And this began to anger me. This should do the same to you if you're not up to this. This should do the same to you. Because the Bible says we are partakers of a better covenant based on better promises. Hands up if you believe that. You know, the people that don't believe in tithing will never ever give more than 10%. They always use it as an excuse to give less. But if we're partakers of a better covenant based on better promises, our giving should exceed that of the Hebrews. It angered me because I thought, I am so ashamed. I can barely afford to give 10% and they were giving 30% and yet I'm a partaker of a better covenant. I thought, God, something's wrong here and it's not you. It's me. Teach me. Show me. And he began to say to me, start moving towards the Hebrew model. Begin to trust me to come to a stage where you can live off 70%. That didn't come overnight, hey? The first part is just your first 10%, that's the tithe that belongs to the Lord. The next 10%, you begin to sow. That's moving into level two where there's divine freedom and financial freedom. And then the next 10% you use to create wealth. It's the Hebrew model. The Hebrew model is the 10% that goes to the ministry, 10% that you begin to sow towards others as God puts on your heart, and 10% you invest in yourself for your future. But start, you know, this is not going to happen to you overnight. This took Joy and I a number of years. We passed this level in January 2017. We passed that 30% threshold. I'm way past it now. And I am so, so thankful. I don't live week to week anymore. Start with that first one, the 10%. You know, it takes faith to believe that you can do better on 90% than others can do on 100%. That takes faith. Okay. So just for the recording, I'm just going to repeat. There was a question that came, and it's basically saying, how do we work out the 10%? Do you do it 10% on the total gross amount? So it's 100, 100, 100. Or do you do it 10% and then whatever's left, work out 10% of that? And whatever's left, work out 10% of that? I'll just tell you what I do, right? What I do is I just do 10% of what I started with. So three lots of the exact same amount. But I didn't start with that. Do you understand? This took time. And it takes faith because you've got to push through these barriers. Right? When we started, when Joy and I first started, the 10% was just like, we couldn't see a way past that. And then I've shared the story, you know, like $25 a month to sow into someone else for us was a lot. But then we began to push through that, and then began to push through that, and began to push through that, and it began to increase. And now I'm at a place, I'm way beyond 10, 10, 10, right? You can do what you want, all right? But just begin to adopt, if you want to do 10%, and then whatever's left, work out 10%, it's going to take you a little bit of time to move towards these things. My philosophy is basically, you can't outgive God. I always want to round it off on the fat side when it comes to the things of God. That's why I don't understand these people when they work out their offering, they'll give me $15.25, you know. Round it up. Anyway, so that's me. That's where I come. So then, when you start on that first 10%, the tithe, right, that ensures you're at level one, divine provision, where God now takes responsibility to look after you. A person that's a tither will always have their needs met. Always. But God doesn't want you to stay there. He wants you to move to higher levels. Because while it's great to have God as your provider, oftentimes you are moving from one need to the next. And God wants you to move way beyond that. He wants you to be in divine freedom, where you are financially free and not living week to week. And the second level of the tithe, it's not really a tithe, it's just the Hebrew model. The second level begins to set you up for financial freedom, where you begin to get. So you start small, and you may not be able to give a whole 10% with that. Start where you're at and just begin to believe God and be determined, I'm going to move up in this. And you will. You will. I shared the story last week anyway. So if you struggle with this area, let's say it's that you've given the tithe and it's like, oh, I'm really struggling to give anything beyond that. A good place to start is the first fruits. As a number of you have got that revelation about first fruits. The first fruits was something that the agricultural community of Israel were practiced in. What would happen is when they would have a harvest, there would be an initial harvest that would come. You'll find it in your fruit trees that this will happen. There's like, it's not even the season, and yet some of them have ripened. And you can pluck them and enjoy that. That's the first fruits. And it's just something that happens almost every season with the different sorts of agricultural commodities that are there. And so Israel were encouraged to take the first fruits and present them as an offering to the Lord. You know, the New Testament in Romans chapter 11, it says, if the first fruits is holy, then the entire lump is holy. That's a good place to start, where you present your first fruits. And the first fruits that Israel were commanded to present, they presented it to their leaders. They presented it to the Levites and the priests. When Israel began to move off the land and they became more monetarily based rather than with agriculture, they went to the teachers of the law and they said, what do we do? You can investigate this and do your own research. I'm just telling you. They said, well, we don't have, because a number of the Israelites no longer were planting and harvesting. They said, how do we give first fruits? And so the leadership of Israel, the teachers of the law, they got together and they discussed it, and they gave some direction for people that had finances. They said, if you want to honor God with first fruits, then you can make an offering of 2.5 to 4% of your income, and that can be like a first fruit offering. That could be something you start on. And the first fruits always goes to the people that are ministering to you. So just think about who are the people that are blessing you and that are ministering to you, and you can present. That's a great place to start. That was one of the first things that Joy and I did, is we began to give a first fruits to our pastor. And then we began to give first fruits beyond that to other ministries that were blessing us. And so anyway, so that's a good place. And then you'll find that you'll begin to move to other levels. Hallelujah. Are you getting something out of this? And then the third one is once you're finding that you're beginning to sow seed, it's so much fun to have a storehouse where you can begin to put seed and then begin from that to begin to bless others. Hey? And then begin to believe God to get to this final where you get to 70% where you spend on yourself, and that final 10% is you begin to put aside to create wealth for yourself. And so I want to go to this final point about your income, putting your hands to work, and that has to do with creating wealth. Hallelujah. So we'll go to the next one. Thanks, Isabel. Put your hands to work, which means set up multiple streams of income. Once you've embraced the Hebrew model, you've come to 70%. You're living off 70%. You're tithing 10%. You're sowing 10%. You're putting another 10% aside where you are starting to accumulate finances. What do you do with that? Set up multiple streams of income. So now there are two types of income that I want to bring your attention to. And this really helped answer some questions for me. There is what I call devotional income, and then also what's called transactional income. I heard Billy Epehart talk about this, and it really, it kind of answered some things for me. So we'll go to the next one. Thanks, Isabel. And so in Joshua chapter 7, verse 1, in the Lexham Bible, it says, the Israelites broke faith concerning the devoted things. Everyone say devoted things. We're talking about devoted income. Achan, son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took from the devoted things, and Yahweh's anger was kindled against the Israelites. What happened is, if you read the story, the Israelites had crossed the Jordan and they'd come to Jericho, and God said to them, this first city, he said, when you conquer this city, you're to take nothing from it. Every bit of it belongs to me. It's devoted to me. And he said, after that, every other city that you conquer, you can keep whatever you want. See, but this first one, you know, it's interesting, Jericho, the word Jericho actually means a sweet fragrance. That first offering is a sweet fragrance. And the Lord said, that's mine. There are things in your life and in my life that are devoted to the Lord. That's devotional income. The tithe is one of those things. The scripture says the tithe is holy, it belongs to the Lord. It's a devoted thing. Devotional income is income or finances that don't belong to you. When God puts on your heart to sow into someone, there's a devoted amount. That maybe it's an amount that you don't have. Then you need to believe God. And you believe God and you begin to set money aside on a regular, that's devoted money, that's devotional income. And that goes. Now, this is a big misunderstanding that I had, and I believe a majority of people have, is they don't understand this whole idea of devotional income and also transactional income. So I want to explain. Devotional income mainly goes, if you look at the scriptures, it mainly went to the Levites and the priests, or in the New Testament to the fivefold ministries. There were occasions where sometimes non-priests or non-ministerial people received devoted income, but that was the exception. It was not the norm. You will find, like, for example, when the Israelites were going out of Egypt, they were given gold and silver and all sorts of things. But that was an exception. But in terms of people in ministry receiving devoted income, that's a common thing right through. If you've read any amount of the scriptures, New Testament or Old Testament, you'll see that that's a pattern. And this is where the misunderstanding is. There are so many Christians who are waiting for that bag of money to fall into their lap. They're waiting for devoted income. The money that you will get most often, if you are not in ministry, will come through transactional income. It will not come through devoted income. Am I saying God will never give you, he'll never put it on someone's heart to sow? I'm not saying that at all. I've experienced that, some of you experienced that, and you will experience that. But if you're wanting to live a lifestyle on that and you're not in the ministry, you're not going to find it in the scriptures, and you're going to find that your experience is not going to be like that either. This is my opinion. One of the reasons I believe it's like that is because those who are called to the ministry have to devote their attention onto the things of God, whereas those who are not called to the ministry can devote their attention on building up a financial base. Transactional income. We'll go to the next one. These scriptures have to do with transactional income. Transactional income basically is the fruit from your work. Now, I want to show you the scriptures where Deuteronomy 28, verse 8, the Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. In other words, you're putting your hands to work, and that's this final point. Put your hands to work, and when you put your hands to work, the Lord will bless all to which you set your hand. Next one, thanks, Isabel. Deuteronomy 28, verse 12, the Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in a season and to bless all the work of your hand. There it is again. Put your hands to work. If you want to move into financial freedom, you need to set multiple streams of income up, and a lot of that is just put your hands to work, begin to do some stuff. And he's going to bless the work of your hand. Next one, thanks Isabel. Deuteronomy 8 verse 18, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. Everyone say, get wealth.
Get wealth.
Notice it doesn't say God gives you wealth, it says he gives you power to get it.
Yeah.
You've got to put your hands to work. And then a New Testament scripture, we'll go to the next one. Ephesians 4 verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer, but let him rather labor working with his hands. Put your hands to work. Now for some of you, that could be, maybe there's a hobby that you enjoy doing that can produce money. You can do that. You can set up multiple streams of income. There was a stream of income for a long time that I had where I used to do tutoring. A lot of that is kind of like, I just felt in my heart that was going to wind up, and so a lot of that is winding up. I'm not sort of going out looking for that, but that was a good stream of income for quite a while. And so that was on top of other things that I was doing. So you can, like think about the gifts, the abilities that you have. How can you put it to work? And set up some multiple streams of income. All right, we'll go to the next one. Thank you. So that's what I've covered today. We've looked at your expenses. If you want to move into financial freedom and beyond, you need to stay out of debt and become a good steward. And then we looked at your income. Set up some storehouses. Begin to move toward the Hebrew model where you live off 70% and put your hands to work. Set up multiple streams of income. If you apply these things that I have shared with you, along with what I shared in part one, your finances will turn around more than you thought was possible. Just ask me how I know. It may take some time. What I've given you, it took like this is stuff that over 7 years, but it was just like as we grew that we began to make the adjustments. It may take you a year or two to do some of these things, but get busy. Begin to do it. Because it's awesome. That pretty much summarizes the major things that God taught me about how to move into financial freedom and to go beyond it. I'm looking forward to next year. Anybody else? Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I just thank you for your desire to bring us to new levels, to bring us to places that are just exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And we're so excited about the year that's ahead. We're so excited about looking at your word and what it says about who we are and the future that's ahead of us. Lord, as we meditate on these things, I pray that you begin to add onto that to every person here as they seek you and they think about some of these things that I've shared, that you just add to that, Lord God. Begin to open our eyes more and more that we can come into line with where you want us to be. Thank you so much, Jesus. Lord, we love you. We so appreciate who you are. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
This message is distributed free of charge by the friends and partners of Transformers Christian Church. If you'd like to partner with us and help send this to others free of charge, then email info@transformers.org.au. Have a great day.